I have a question.
Another question. I heard the Ramban said Ramban is on the first, and then Ramban is on the second.
Yeah.
He says that actually Avraham Avinu going down to Mitzrayim was a sin. He said, or it was
not.
Okay,
yeah. That's it. Very controversial Ramban.
How can he say that about Avraham Avinu?
It's a very controversial Ramban.
It is.
Yes, a lot of the people who write, a lot of the modern Orthodox like criticizing the Avos, bringing this Ramban as evidence. So there is a Zohar which does say this, but you know. The question is whether, which criticized Avraham Avinu. But the Ramban seems to be saying it not because he saw the Zohar, although maybe he did, but because on his own initiative,
right.
Which, you know, makes it very uncomfortable for us. So what we say under the circumstances, meaning what I say, is that a Rishon might have had the authority to critique Avraham Avinu, and Achron does not. Ramban was a holy kind of guy. He had the right to do so. We're not so holy, we don't have the right to do so. Where Chazal or the Rishonim did not do so. That's my approach. But yes, this Ramban is a very well-known problematic Ramban.
So why would you want an Orthodox bring them down? I mean, what does it do for them? What are they trying to accomplish?
By the modern Orthodox, it's a big thing to humanize the others, you know, to make them human and flawed, because somehow they feel that they'd be able to learn more from the others if the others are human and flawed than if they are perfect and angelic. Okay. That doesn't necessarily follow. It's not necessarily logical.
I mean, we know from the stories that they were pretty regular. I mean, they led their lives. They had to take care of earthly problems. I mean, they were also connected, but at the same time, they're not completely disconnected from.
So the Rambam in Moreh Bruchim says that even though the Avos were involved in mundane matters, when they in the back of their, or at some level in their mind, they were constantly involved in tzedakus and connecting to Hashem. He says, I don't recall if this is the exact language, but he says something to the fact that for us it's not possible to be connected to Hashem and be involved in mundane matters at the same time as the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu were. However, what we should do is we should be involved in mundane matters for a couple of hours a day, and the rest of the time we should be in Vekus, connected to Hashem. That anybody can do, says the Rambam. So he that's his perspective on the Avos, that the Avos were able to function on two levels simultaneously. That's what makes them great. The thing is that, you know, the modern Orthodox should hold to what the Rambam says, but they only hold the Rambam where the convenient. I want to tell you, we use the term modern Orthodox pejoratively in a negative sense, but there are lots of modern Orthodox people. There are many different varieties of them, and some of them are very good people, and some of them are ignorant people, and some of them are bad people. Most of them are either ignorant or good. Very few of them were actually bad.
One question I want to ask you, you might have addressed this in the past, but it was just something that came up recently.
No, thank you.
When we hear stories of...
You missed the good part.
When we hear some like more like supernatural stuff, like the story of a rabbi that he was... something that I heard recently, like one of the rabbis was flying, you know, and somebody said it was a carpet. And then, you know, when somebody asks you, you know, do you either believe or you don't believe in that story? And they compare these stories to the stories in the Gemara. They would say, so if you believe the stories in the Gemara, you also have to believe in these stories. That are said, you know, basically, it's not just Christians who have these stories. Other people.
Nobody actually came to you and said this to you, did they?
Sure.
They did?
Yeah, do you believe that something happened in, like, you have a story where there's a person in the Gemara, they dig up a person out and he was alive, he was speaking to them out of the ground. Mm-hmm. So if you believe in that story, you also have to believe in the story where somebody was flying, you know.
Why?
Well, because I mean, obviously, it's something out of, you know, ordinary, something supernatural. And they say if the Gemara brings it down, if somebody wrote it down in the Gemara, you know, which we hold by. I mean, I
what does that do with it happening any other time in history?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why can it happen? Why couldn't the same thing happen, you know, 1,500 years later, 2,000 years later?
Because they weren't as holy.
I mean, it's hard to
think about the opposite.
What part?
No, yeah, so what does that change if they wanted to fold it?
They couldn't do the same thing.
So why, how come when we have stories like...
So that's my knowledge, and no Tanoi Mamoraim ever flew. They never went flying.
Okay, but other stories.
What?
One person.
Did he ever resurrect people?
Yeah. Rabba resurrected. Rabbi Zeru resurrected Rabba, the Gemara says.
Is that
power? It seems that way. There were several cases like that, actually.
In the Kabbalah, it says how to do it?
No. So, I mean, not any book I've read. Could be other books.
So how do they know?
What do you mean, how do they know? They're much greater than we are. We're idiots.
So we can't study to be like them?
What?
We can't study to be like them?
No.
So Robert Short can't be compared to one of them?
No.
Never in the
world?
Gotta be the time you did.
No. He can't. I'm sorry if that upsets you.
If you know the whole shot in and out.
It doesn't matter.
What else do you have to know?
You have to get prophetic experiences. You have to become in touch with higher realms of existence.
But you can learn that.
What?
You can learn.
Speaking of shots,
there's nobody who can do it. Nobody's going to do it nowadays. I mean,
I want to do it. Where's the
good luck. Enjoy.
Speaking of shots,
start with meditation and Kabbalah by Ari Kaplan. We'll proceed from there.
Ari Kaplan.
Kabbalah and meditation.
Do you believe Ari Kaplan?
About what?
Do you believe him?
About what?
His books.
I like them. What do you mean by leave them?
Do we know how much of Shas were missing, if any? Like, how much were just not able, how many, what amount of details were not able to...
Nothing. No, no, not missing. Might be missing Yushalmi, but not Bavli.
Bavli is complete. In and out, like everything you need to know.
Yeah.
I heard there's two Bavlis. Because we use... Hold it. There were two Bavlis developed in two different areas or different times or anything?
Two Talmuds, not two Bavlis.
So what about you know, they were
by the center.
Huh?
Yeah, they're little bits and pieces, but we know where they are.
We know. I mean, it's only recently that they discovered some of these writings.
They always had them. They just didn't make it come into the Gemara. Because they were censored, but they always had them.
Rabbi, can I learn in Kabbalah?
Yes. What's wrong with learning Kabbalah?
Don't have you 40 years old?
No, you have to be 40 years. No.
I have to be 40, but Ashkenaz used to be
41. No. Even Ashkenaz is only 40 years old. If you've the type of stuff which you're supposed to be 40 years old for, you won't understand before you're 40 anyway, so it doesn't matter.
What kind of stuff?
Very deep, difficult stuff to understand.
What?
No, because I did not start learning deeper Kabbalah when I was 40. I didn't start yet. I wanted to start, to be honest with you, but I have not yet made the time to do so.
Is that like 8 time or something?
Yeah, we're supposed to start with the Leshem by Rabbi Yosher's grandfather.
The one
that's
on the wall.
The what?
The one they refused to sell him. Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
So I would tell the rabbi at Yehuda Leach's board if he lets me talk. It was a funny story. I think.
Question about the Chalazim and the Tefillin. Did he hold to the two levels of the Tefillin, and he held the general public? I heard this in the name. And the general public is supposed to have the base level of the Tefillin, which is trusting God and what we think of the Tefillin. And then the high level of the Tefillin is what the Avos had, and I don't know if any other people had it.
Nachum Ish Gamzu.
Nachum Ish Gamzu had it, where you look at any, you can just, you sort of, the way it was described to me wasn't some of these words, but the way I interpreted it, which is what I want to know is right, is that you sort of look anything
look at, you know you can accomplish. What I mean by that is, if you come to a river, there's no difference between walking on land and the river with that level of toughness, but you sort of, you can walk right over the river.
Yeah, it's similar to that idea, yes, but it's really a level at which you have total hashgacha by Hashem, that everything works out for you, for your personal good, which is very rare.
And the only people in history who've had that are the Avos and not...
No, maybe the other people. I'm just saying those are the people who we know have had... What?
How about me?
I don't know you yet. This is only the second time I've met you.
But when you said it comes to after the first time, you meet me.
What?
After you said after the first time you meet me, you can come true.
No, I never said
that. In a sense, you can figure it out.
Figure what out?
That everything you call is good for a person.
How are you supposed to figure it out?
I don't know
either.
Look at my phone. Look at my phone.
Yes.
Completely new tangent.
We haven't started this year tonight, so I don't know what tangent we're going off on. Yes.
If I knew that something bad happens on the other side of the world, like if there's a typhoon and it kills 3,000 people in China, do I have any obligation whatsoever to care?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened to you? You're just lucky it didn't happen.
The Jewish people are in charge of the world.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. We're supposed to be concerned with whatever happens. Anyway. Is that not the right answer?
That's the best answer. It's very simple. That's it.
What?
I want to know, but
it didn't sound like the answer you wanted to get. It didn't seem from your facial, from your question, that that was the answer you wanted to get. Why did you want to get another answer?
No, I mean...
Yes.
I'm just trying to figure out, should I care?
No, you had an agenda. What's the agenda?
Okay. No agenda, no, I
can't. Baloney! What was the agenda?
Alright, just today, I was teaching my students, and I mentioned the conquistadors going to South America. And, South America, and I said that they set up plantations, and they took the natives and they turned them into slaves. And one of the students said, oh, well, they're
just going
anyway.
What?
One of the students
said,
oh, well,
they're just
going anyway. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Like,
well,
think about that.
Yeah.
So what about Jewish enemies, then? What about that? Can we about that? When you're
in war,
when enemies of the Jews are being killed?
Yeah.
Which
means, yeah. Yeah, it says that. Rav Kook said that he got in trouble for this, but it doesn't mean he's wrong. The Sukh said that true tzaddikim are even upset with when they have to kill Amalek. They do the mitzvah, but they're upset that they have to do the mitzvah.
Oh, they don't want to kill them.
They don't want to kill them, right.
Rabbi, is there any other books?
Start with Kabbalah meditation. We'll take it from there, okay?
I don't like meditation.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to meditate to read the book. You don't like meditation.
Like
you expect to become a Kabbalist. Ah. Big joke.
Can you elaborate on the principle of, I don't know if you can say anything besides I was reading this one book and saying that Hashem in his essence is life and it's in nothingness. Is there any way we can get past that besides saying we have no clue what that means and there's nothing?
I can only relate to this, I have no clue what it means. But if I Kaplan says I don't understand this, I'm going to tell it to you anyway.
Right.
He says, it's like visualizing the space behind your head.
Yeah, I read that. That's what I'm trying to get past.
You can't see it.
I understand.
You put your hand on your head. Can you see your hand?
No, I can imagine a space behind
your
head.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Why can't I imagine
the space
behind
you? What's the space?
Because you already know the space. He's saying, it's if you didn't know the space behind you, you're in a totally different place.
Is there anything
you
didn't know?
I don't understand what he's saying there.
What's
the
space? The air?
I don't understand what he's saying. I don't know what he means by space over there.
That's the one word to say.
Yeah.
Everything.
What's the matter, Yossi?
Something.
Something is
wrong. Okay, I'm going to listen to this a little bit more. If you give me some elaboration. So, I am supposed to be concerned about what happens in the world. What is what happens anywhere else in the world have to do with...
That's this week's Parsha. Why does Avram care about...
But that was his nephew. It's completely different. That's family.
No, but he said
we relate to that
the whole town.
See, this is a fundamental problem with Golos has caused. one of the most fundamental problems of Torah is caused is that the Jews have lost their universal concern for mankind.
Mm. Why did you have the 14 kings and the 5 kings? Why didn't he just get rid of?
I guess he felt that those kings were righteous and the other kings were not, or they were right in their battle. I don't know. I mean, that's what Binder, I guess. But in any event, so what happened was that they shut us up in ghettos and persecuted us, and we, as a result, we started hating them. And then we came to the conclusion that they are superfluous, unnecessary, just bad. We couldn't care less what happened to them. Mm-hmm. That's not what Judaism is actually about. Judaism is all about going out and demonstrating what it means to be a holy nation and showing everybody that we have, our God is the right God, and educating them that they should follow our God as well. And we're supposed to be concerned with the moral and ethical state of all humanity.
We can't even take care of ourselves.
And, well, that's why we don't do it. We're supposed to be concerned with the moral and ethical state of all humanity, and we're supposed to send missionaries throughout the globe and try and get the, and try and get all the pagans and idolaters to realize that there is one God and they should keep his 7 commandments.
Of course, his name was Avram, as it was, and then it turned to Avraham. Was Avram the father of Ram? Avram, he said, is the father of
Rami's father, high father. That's a Rami. Rami's high.
I thought he said his father of a certain location, and Avraham, the hey, means father of the whole world.
He was Av and Haran till now, and then he became Aram. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, this is a major problem which Bali Tshuva faced. Major problem. Because Bali Tshuva expects Orthodox Jews to have wonderful mitos and be completely idealistic. And they come to Orthodoxy and they find Orthodox Jews do not have wonderful mitos. Matter of fact, most of them are racist bigots. And they're not so idealistic. They're very cynical.
No, I'm a bit cynical about this too, because changing the world is a lot of work.
That's true. I'm not saying any one of us is going to do it, but that would be the ideal. The idea would be to go out and change the world.
Okay, so if something is bad is happening on the other side of the world, then do we have any obligation to change what's happening?
What?
We have any obligation then to change what's
of course
happening.
We do, but it'll be absurd.
What level of change are we expected to affect?
We give aid.
Very little, because we are not with as what's your name?
Avram.
Michael. Avram Michael, go by both.
Avram is like Avram Michael.
Which name do you want to be called?
Avram.
It's like Avram said before, we're so messed up internally that we're really going to go out and start converting people to being Noahites, right? So it's absurd to speak about what we should do in the outside world, because we are very messed up internally. But that in theory, that's what we should be doing. We should have anguish that we don't.
Isn't the Rambam Ben Ish Chai say something like that? We have to fix ourselves, we don't fix others?
Everybody says that.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not, it's unfortunate that we're not fixed. That's the problem.
I think a Jewish community is like grassroots, and I mean, at least in theory they should talk about other things, but the way I always deal with the word goyim, I just said goyim are gringos. It's like Mexicans say gringos, everybody's like, I'm a gringo, they make fun of themselves, but oh, we don't say gringos, forget it. There's goyim and there's gringos, and the blacks will call you crackers. So it's another word for cracker or gringo.
I read Dr. Hamadiyah today, this morning at breakfast, talking about how Jewish communities insulate themselves because there are a lot of outside influences that are dangerous, and he made a comment saying that, you know, some people call Jews who want to live in an insulated community archaic and backwards, and almost like they're living in a cave. And then he brings this Rambam and says that if you're living in a morally corrupt society, you should better live in a cave. So my question is,
if you wanted to, I'm not sure why we're dealing with this topic.
That's
today. But if you wanted to, you couldn't write an article in Hamodia saying we have to love the Gentiles and try and get them to do the right thing. Do you realize that that article would never be published? So you couldn't even publish an article which says we have to love the Zionists and get them to do the right thing. Because
how do you even find the hashkafic balance? I mean, it's your opinion. It's your opinion, but
follow me. It's not easy. Everybody has to really be try and find what works for them, because there is no one right derech. But I'm just saying that it disturbs lots of people that they come and they find that orthodoxy is not what it's supposed to be. This is one of my heroes, Nathan Birnbaum, who was famous as one of the early Balei Tshuva in the 20th century. He writes books where he said, you know, he became Purim, and then he found all of a sudden, well, not I don't know if all of a sudden, but he found that the grass was not as green as he thought it would be. So he started trying to change Orthodox Jews, you know, make them greater Obey Hashem, more idealistic and more refined, etc., etc.
And was he, did he say he was effective at all?
Well, I think he was not certainly not completely effective, perhaps partially effective, but he died in 1936.
And
when the Second World War upended everything anyway. So,
I sort of have this fear that if you try to have a conversation with somebody who has grown up in a community and you know, holds these values that have developed meaning, Gullah, that they'll dismiss you as, you know, I've had some experience with this, is that maybe it's not coming from an authentic source because you're coming from the Goyish world or the secular world and you don't have the Torah. And so if you try to impress anything, it's almost like, well, I have the Torah, and who are you to tell me anything? So how could that ever be? I mean, where do you begin? I'm saying, how do you? You just don't talk to these people. You live that.
You don't talk to them about certain subjects.
Uh-huh.
I think the way to go about it is separate yourself from the outside society. When you raise the kids, you shouldn't just, you know, it shouldn't be like a common world, you know, filthy going, you know, around the house. I mean, you don't want to raise your children to think that way. You don't have to be involved with the going per se, but you don't have to raise your children to be
Yeah, but the problem is that many people do anyway. I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's what many people do. I think it's not so good, but that's the way.
I'm not so against like separating Jewish society, you know, Jewish society.
I understand, yes, but you just don't like when people make negative remarks for no reason.
I think it's also the reform movement. Certain things people are scared of going off the derech, so they want to make sure there's a distinction. Because they'll start asking, what's the problem with dating a non-Jewish girl? Non-Jews are fine. Everybody's equal. Everybody's fine. And the boundaries part. So you want to make a distinction. We're Jews. Those are Goyim. What about Goyim? That's what Goyim do.
I'm not a Kasher.
You took the test.
You just left that? Well, what's the difference between a Kasher and a Sephardi?
I said Kasher.
Different culture.
Oh, why? Should I become a Kasher?
No.
Why? My dad said it's
different. Because you're a Sephardi. What's wrong with being... Where is your family from?
Huh?
Where's your family from?
Iran.
You have a nice legacy. Why do you want to mess it up by going somewhere else?
In what sense?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, what sense?
What's wrong with Kassid?
You have your own customs.
You have your own customs. Why do you have to go become a Kassid?
I mean, aren't there more, like, into the religion? Have you ever tried being...
No.
Have you ever tried being happy on Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried being happy on Yom Kippur?
No.
Tishba.
No.
I'm in Kippur.
No, I cried
about it. You're not going to be able to become a Kassid. I'll be happy.
Rabbi, aren't they more like stronger, like in like everything, and they take everything, every little halacha, every little spectrum, like. So just to have the pace for show and tell? And they have the rest little first.
As soon as it's 24 hours.
If you had $200 a gift for a hat too. Or, you know, go out and buy Jack another $200.
Is $200 for a hat?
I guess.
What, for a shrimp?
No, not a shrimp. The baby for.
I want a shrimp.
$3,000
for a shrimp?
Artificial.
Oh my
polyester God. $750.
Polyester.
What if you use it from a fast? What if it's completely from a fast tail and the inside?
It's 13.
Squirrel or fox?
13 foxtail.
What is the inside of the hat that goes around?
What
is the inside of the hat that goes around your head? It's fox skin. How much does that cost?
So they go to the Amazon and catch the foxes?
I don't know how they catch the foxes.
They're fox farms.
They're foxes
in
mountains.
Okay. And what costs it? You put all those hats together, $1 million. How much is that place worth?
The building.
Saitmer and Shiva. Saitmer, the big place.
I have no idea.
The Saitmer and Shiva.
Not Saitmer. What's that word? The
you
building.
What are you talking about?
The Chassid place where they all go.
Saitmer?
Yeah.
Vision?
No, Saitmer.
Or Vision is?
What's the difference?
It starts with Samech, Yud, Aleph. I saw a huge, big place last night. I was passing by.
Well, how do you want to know why the one in Orange building is worth?
Oh,
you have to buy it?
Real estate, don't worry. Because I don't understand these people. How do they have 10 children? How do they go buy meat versus...
You see, this is a very fascinating thing, because you're focusing, when you ask me if you want to become a Chabad, you usually become a Chabad, you really have no, you're not addressing at all how they serve God.
You know about lifestyle,
not about what they're,
no,
how they
I
serve God.
I asked you the first question, I said, are they more like into the Chabad?
Into what?
Into the halakha than
But that's not, that's assuming that they serve God the same way you do, except that they're more into it.
What's the difference between
there's major differences.
In what sense?
Well, you want me to explain everything, right?
What's so good about a chassid?
What's so good?
I don't know. What do you admire?
They
about?
Focus on their dveikus in Hashem.
They focus what?
On their connection to God.
And what do we focus on?
On achieving perfection. Oh, Sfardim? Sfardim are disappearing. Because they're all joining the Hasidic Litvic, the Hasidic Misnagdic divide.
What does that mean?
Everything Klai, almost everything Klai Yisrael now is divided into Hasidim versus Misnagdim.
We're Misnagdim or
Misnagdim? The Sfardim are Misnagdim, but soft Misnagdim.
What is Misnagdim?
Misnagdim means non-Hasidim.
Okay.
Literally means opponents. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you're a Sfardi, you're not looking to focus on your Vekus and Hashem all the time. But you're not you like Vekus in Hashem.
What's life about? Being connected to Hashem or achieving perfection?
Depends who you're talking to.
What does God want?
There are many ways to do God's will. God doesn't have just one will.
Which one is the highest one?
There is no highest. There's just difference.
Between connection and God and achieving perfection?
There's no
difference. Higher.
No. Which one?
Achieving perfection.
You do?
Or connection with God.
Which one is higher?
I think connection with God.
But not everybody agrees with you.
You have to achieve perfection to have connection with God.
Yeah, but maybe you should achieve perfection and not focus on your connection with God. Your connection with God means that you want to communicate with God directly.
That's the Kavana. You have to have the Kavana.
No, you don't. Not according to Misnagdim.
What's the point of what you're doing then?
Become the greatest person you can possibly become. The greatest, the greatest Talmud Chacham, the greatest person who does chesed, the greatest person who goes and does things for the community, the greatest person who.
Well, while they're doing that, they have the right kavana to.
What's the right kavana?
To connect with God.
What does that do with connecting to God?
So how do you? What's an example of connecting
with
God?
Davening. Singing. Thinking about Hashem.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
When was the last time you thought about Hashem?
Second ago.
I don't believe it.
I just said he'll be in the past, be in the future, and he'll be in the past. What else I have to think about? I think about that when I say Shema.
Right, that's fine. But most of the day we don't think about God, do we?
I'm sitting when I learn Gemara.
You think about God when you learn Gemara?
What does he want?
What do you mean? You're not thinking about God. What Masech are you learning?
Today, Shabbat,
what do you mean by Matthias? Where did God come up?
I don't
He doesn't come up in Bava Metzia, right? So think about going to Bava Metzia, right?
When they study Gemara, do you think about God all the time?
Well, they have a problem. Because studying Gemara doesn't let you think about God. But you do have to think about God, so they have a problem. So according to Baal Shem Tov, the Talmud of Chassidus is supposed to take out time in the middle to think about God.
But then you could say, I can think about God in the morning, in the evenings, and then in the afternoon, and at night.
You could
think God about 3 times a day instead of thinking about it 50 times a day.
Yeah, but what's better? We just said before, Beikus and Hashem is important. Connecting to Hashem is the most important thing. So you should probably do it 50 times a day, right?
Okay, if I do it 50 times a day, then I'm going to miss another meeting.
That's the point. So what's more important? What takes priority?
So I can keep sitting here and just only have a kabbalah thinking about God and not doing anything else.
Yeah,
it's higher than davening. It's a form of davening, and it's higher than learning.
According to the Chassidim, yes.
But then they can get really lost into it. Then they have a yitzhahara that kicks in.
So you're talking like a misnaget right now, right? So we've ascertained that you're a misnaget, right? We've figured out that you're not inclined to be a chassid.
So you say hara for sure kicks in. So they don't believe
that. Nothing. You don't understand why they would be doing what they're doing.
Because they think it's a better connection.
Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't like it.
I don't like it. It's what we dream, what we pay for, but there's so much things we have to do in the day. We can't do, we're not, we can't like triple task. Okay, we're multitask, but how much more so we can do it?
Yeah.
I remember I was reading Beryl Wine's recent
book. Are you thinking about God?
His book, and
he
said a fascinating story that happened in the 16th century about a person who basically claimed that he's coming from a territory which the word speaks about it, that the river is on fire all 6 days except Shabbat. So it comes from that he came to Europe. He claimed that he knows of the 10 laws Shaja and they're ready to I forget his name.
Morocco?
Yeah, can you elaborate? Because he writes maybe a page about it.
Yeah. Reuven Malka was one of the people who pretended to be Mashiach. We've had many people who either pretended to be Mashiach or thought they were Mashiach throughout Jewish history. So he pretended. He asserted that there was an entire region with the Ten Shvatim from which he came. Obviously, we've never found such a region, so we don't think it exists.
I thought he went to the Pope. He convinced the Pope that he's got.
He was obviously a very dynamic person.
Fascinating how he was able to like fool everybody around.
Yeah.
I mean, not just the Jews, but
yeah, people who have a special capacity to fool.
Well,
everybody.
Why don't we go convert the Pope?
What?
Why don't we go convert the Pope?
Abraham's problem is
why, Rabbi? We don't have the mentality to make the Pope read
God. Go try.
He won't let.
So why are you asking me?
I don't know, Rabbi. What's your
other thing? He thinks that Kavanah is
connecting to Hashem. Then, Rabbi, what's your point on it?
I understand, right?
What's the point on it? Rabbi, you know what they have under their in their basement?
Nothing.
How do you know they have nothing?
How do you know they have something?
Titus's Arch.
Because,
Titus's Arch.
What about Titus's Arch?
Rabbi, they have everything down there.
How do you know?
They have the Rambam.
How do you know?
Writing. They have the Rambam's writing.
Because they have a library. They didn't keep it secret. It was in the library.
They have more things that they don't want to reveal.
How do you know that?
Because the rabbi of Century City in Los Angeles said that he went with 3 other rabbis, went to Israel, collected some of money, went down there, and checked everything out.
They let him in.
They let him in.
Uh-huh. And what did he see?
It's a whole list of everything.
I see.
But except like the...
They're pretty stupid to show this rabbi from Century City this list, right?
If they're not stupid, they didn't want
to... Obviously they're stupid. What do you mean, he went in and demanded it?
He went, he paid some money to go see, but they couldn't take anything out. So how does he have proof? He said he saw a piece of paper, but they don't have the Kaleem or they don't have the Menor. Because the first king took it and like he was short of money, he made it into coins. What do you mean? He made it into his own gold. True?
That was good.
But he has all the writings, Rabbi. He has like everything. How did he like obtain it?
I have no idea. I don't know who even we're talking about. So how am
the
I supposed
Pope,
to?
Pope. The Pope.
What about the Pope?
Vatican.
He has a library. He collects books. They collected over thousands of years.
They have more
books.
Things of your shrine of the Beit HaMikdash.
Where are they?
You know, they also have Honor Kodesh in Ethiopia.
No one has the Honor Kodesh. If anyone sees the Honor Kodesh,
in Ethiopia, there's a church where they claim they have it.
Vincent Jones.
Rabbi, he
also claims he has it.
Rabbi, you going to need the Honor Kodesh? Aren't you dead in a second?
What?
Aren't you dead if you touch the Honor Kodesh?
They don't touch it. They keep it closed up in a house. In a church.
So how do they know they see it or they touch it or they do anything with it?
What do you mean? They don't do anything with it. They just have guards outside. They won't let you in.
What's the point of it?
They feel it gives them good luck, I guess.
They can't take pictures?
No.
Why?
Because the building is sealed. They won't let you in. They'll shoot you before you go in.
Morality? How do we understand Jewish morality? Is it tied to whatever philosophy is morality and ethics? Or is there something...
It's a big question. You know, it's a big issue. The Chazanish tell that halacha and morality are coextensive, but the Bali Musar obviously tells not that way, right? That's why the Chazanish attacks Musar.
So, according to the Bali Musar, what is ethics or morals? I mean, is there something outside of
law
that's moral and ethical, or I mean,
there's because listening to Mishra Sadin, beyond the letter of the law.
And what is it? That's an absolute. How do they seem to identify that? I mean,
well, the Rambam identifies it, but you know, the material for sure identifies as anything which makes you a holier person.
Anything that makes you holier is ethics. And the definition of holiness is becoming closer to God.
And emulating God and thus becoming closer to Him. And of course, you know, there are other ways as well, but that's done about some basic level.
No, I did it backwards.
Are you a new student or something else?
Mm-hmm.
You're staying for the whole month?
I hope so.
Oh, we have lots of fun. Okay, that's good. I think we should learn something about what we're supposed to learn tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Even though we only have a few moments left.
What?
What
are we doing? Tonight's Ein Yaakov Shir.
We learned enough.
How about email?
Oh, so I guess we're waiting for you to come.
Thank you.
All right, you can begin now. I'll start the lesson.
Good song.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to come across it?
I'm passing time.
You want to come across it?
No.
Why? Just because you're out of you don't have to come across it? You come with whatever you want.
The philosophy does not die well.
Huh?
The philosophy does not die well.
Is that Rabbi?
You should read my article on it, then we can talk more.
I couldn't find it. I went to the website for 20 minutes.
I saw it. It's on there.
Sports.hbn?
I saw your website and then the H-Das. And I was typing it in.
Which H?
So I forgot the website. I was just looking it on those two websites.
What's your website?
I have a blog and a website.
It's not hard to navigate. I found it, but there's like, it's on there with other stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to navigate the website.
Rabbi,
why are you on H-Das?
Not H.
H? H
is
your blog. That's your blog.
Is that dash YGB?
Slash
YGB.
What slash? Like negative?
What is it?
Forward slash.
Negative forward slash.
This is standard HTML code. We call it a Kabbalah.
The blog.
YGB is your blog.
The blog.
What is it?
H YGH.
Work.
H-R-Y-G-B.
What's that?
Is your
black. Well,
why?
Oh.
Oh, that line? Is that a dash?
Where?
You're showing me H-T-M.
Right before the backslash.
It's a backslash.
Y-G-H.
Y-G-B.
I'm sorry. What's the first thing before Y? And after the...
R.
An R.
Oh, that's an R.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rabbi. R-Y-G-B?
Yeah.
I think it's forward slash. Okay.
Whatever.
You have a brother in Israel?
Yeah.
Tribal.
Yeah.
Is that
Forge?
Yeah.
Forge. Dad. It's the name of an article. That's not Dad. The website. It's the name of an article.
Dad, did you put anything this year on your blog or not?
Yes, I did. Okay, so let's do a little bit of Agadah, sir. I don't put up things on the blog.
What's
the
deal, Yom Kippur? God didn't forgive you yet, or you didn't?
Okay, we're up to Simon Nun Gimel. Brahma Abba Bachana. Rabbi Bachana said, Zim Nachada one time. That's not it. You have one.
Yeah.
Oh, please, okay. So I was going on a boat. The chazina hu kavra, and I saw a certain fish. The yafale achla tinub usye, and there was a little fish, a much smaller fish, which got into the nostrils of a big fish. Okay, so it's like I guess some sort of parasitical type of sea life. Vadchoy Maya, and somehow this parasitical little fish killed the big fish, and the big fish was pushed up by the water. The Shadul Guguda pushed up on the seashore. The Chaymenei Shita Mechayzei, it destroyed 60 districts. The dead fish was so big. Vachaymenei Shita Mechayzei, like areas, towns, but the 60 other towns, 8 were sustained by the meat of this fish. The umachuminashitim, because another 60 districts salted away its fish for long-term storage, its meat. Umalu michad galgula de ene, and they filled from one of its eyeballs. Plus mea gade mishra, 300 measures of oil. The chihadron, and when I came back, lebesar treta yarchei shato, after 12 months, chazina, I saw, dava kamegam matre migarne metalauto, that they were sawing its bones and making shelters, the yasve, and they were taking them, lemivnina hanach machose, to build those districts which had been destroyed. So what do you think the symbolism is here?
Okay, little fish goes to big fish nostrils. Nostrils go. He goes on shore. The big fish.
He kills the big fish, right? Big fish dies, right?
Big fish goes on shore.
Is it edible?
Yeah, obviously.
Kills a city. What?
Yeah, kills 60 cities.
So 60 cities.
Yeah.
With what? The little fish.
And then 8 cities survive on
it. Kills 60 cities. 60 cities survive with meat. Another 60 cities salt away with meat. And a year later, he finds that. The 60 cities which were destroyed are rebuilding themselves on a boat.
One fish?
Did the fish escape from the nostrils?
The fish escaped from the nostrils? I don't know. It's not part of the story.
The little fish killed the big fish. And the big fish killed everyone else.
Yeah, but the little fish then escaped from the nostrils.
Is the little fish like an idea, like some kind of idea that
Rabbi, it resembles us.
It's the fish.
It's us as the mollusk.
One thing that destroys the
so I know.
Rabbi, we're the little fish.
I know.
Yeah. Who are we killing?
Huh?
Who's the big fish?
I know.
But Amalek killed all the other cities because they still kept alive or somehow. Remember we kept the cattle?
Dad, I know.
Okay, and then what happened?
I know.
Both died. Yes, what is it, Mr. No.
The little fish was a part of our nation. The big fish was
there's no one right answer.
Was a bunch of nations of non-Goyim that weren't friendly to the Jews, and was so big and had enough bones to kill and to rebuild. To build 50 districts. So when part of our nation got into the Goyim, we died, that's true. But those Goyim also died. They came out and they destroyed Latin and when people saw that they were killed, they this seemed this destroyed 50.
Use the meat and bones.
And those were guys who didn't give in. They took the meat and the bone. In other words, they took the survivors of the war from the Guardians, and they gave girls to the men, so that the men can marry, and men give the girls, so that the girls can marry. And then using these remains, they were able to replace those whole 50 districts of government.
Okay.
Sixty were destroyed.
Very nice. Very good. I don't know. I think actually that's pretty close. You know, let's talk about symbolism of 60 instead of 300. Okay, 300 is always, we mentioned in the past, always a bad number. Okay, 300s are, the 400s are good, 300s are bad. 400 is 22 letters of the alphabet, because that's letter sup. 300 is letter shin, because that's the 21st letter of the alphabet, right? So 21 is incomplete, right? Negative. 400 is complete, positive. Okay?
Is this something to do with matches?
Yes. Now, 60 is a fascinating number, because 1/60th of anything is the slightest taste. You know, in halacha, there's a concept, bata b'shushu. Anything which is six, where there's like a piece of meat which is forbidden. And 60 times as much meat which is permitted, so it cancels it out and it's nullified, right? So the flip side of that is 60 is the maximum, that's 1/60th, right? 60 is the maximum in terms, I don't know if it's a maximum, but it's a number in terms of some sort of perfection, some sort of completion. Like the opposite of the faintest taste is a complete taste. That's why the letter for 60 is stomach, which is a closed letter. It's a perfectly closed letter. A mem, so fist, is a closed letter, right? But the only letter other than a sophist letter, which is complete, is a perfect circle or square, is a stomach. So that represents that which is completed, that which is perfected. And so we say, Somech Hashem l'chol nofim, Hashem lifts up all those who are fall, right? The nun, especially nun sofit, is like a straight line falling down, right? And the samech is like a what's it called? Where you throw it to a
lightsaber,
right? Which brings the person back up. So here, the idea, I think, is that there are many things in this world which we can't understand why they occur, and they seem to be negative, but the ultimate result is positive. In other words, like you were saying before, the Chazon Ish, so this is very, the Chazon Ish makes this third point with Bitachon. In other words, you can't understand how things are good, and they're not necessarily good for you. These 60 districts were got destroyed to begin with. They were not so happy to be destroyed, right? When the big fish hit them, right? But on the big, but other, in the long run, this worked out for humanity, because so many more positive things happened as a result. And the beginning of this whole episode was a very small, the way chaos theory works? Chaos theory works, the famous marshal, that a butterfly flapping its wings in Japan will cause a hurricane in Mexico, right? By a series of events, which just, seem to happen at random, going back to that original cause, that air wave is this airwave, it's that airwave, cause this to happen and that to happen. Eventually you get a hurricane. So
the bunch of wind and the way through the Pacific Ocean, which changes it to a really big, strong wind, and then it causes a hurricane.
So the same thing here, the ripple effect of things which happen in this world can be start from a very small cause. You never know when something you do can have awesome and major ramifications for all time. And you can't even know the ramifications. This little parasitical, the only way to look about it, is like Rabbi kind of says, I was standing in the boat and watching, right? Now the boat here, we know that the Ritva says all of these metaphors in the Sechus Baal, they all mean meditation. In other words, they were all perceiving this from a meditative perspective. So Rabbi Abakana's message here is that even in the middle of this process, you will not be able to see what the purpose of the process is. And this is true about our own personal lives. There's no way we can know in the middle of our life why things happen to us that happen to us. And that's what makes us depressed, because we don't know why they happen to us and what good they possibly could be. And perhaps this is that not good for me whenever it happened. In other words, it wouldn't be my choice. But there is an ultimate purpose. So what Rabbi Chana is saying that everything which happens, even the things which are seem to be negative and destructive, ultimately come out to be positive. So now they destroyed 60 cities, and then they 60 cities those took the meat, and 60 cities salted from it, and another 60 cities, the original 60 cities rebuilt themselves on the bones, and then they took 300 barrels of oil from one of its eyes. So I think it's a not very nice metaphor in this sense, in that, you know, 300 is a negative number, right? Because we don't see with our eyes what the positive is. So therefore, you know, if you are able to see, then you can see that 300, which seems to be a negative, actually is oil to fuel something positive which will happen as a result. Now, I think this is therefore it's a classic example of what the Rambam says. Chazal didn't want to tell us these things outright, especially because if you're a simple person, it can blow your mind away, because this makes you to think, well, bad things can happen to me, and I'm just part of the master plan, right? I'm just a stepping stone for everything else. Not so pleasant, right? So therefore, as the Chazal came along and put the things in the form of a muscle, so the people who are supposed to understand, like us, understand. People who are not supposed to understand, just think of a cute story. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. The stories get better as we go along, by the way.
How do they come into Baba Basra? How do they fit into the Mishnah?
This is a parak called Amokher Es
Hashtina. How many hours do you have on that?
It's somebody who sells about 10:45.
We're in the home. I heard people.